Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Sports.
Get ready, sports fans. It's time for Chasing Foul Balls on Super Talk Pike County 93.5 and streaming worldwide on the Super Talk Mississippi app and on your Amazon Alexa devices. Chasing Foul Balls, your weekly source for all the sports news and interviews important to Southwest Mississippi. Chasing Foul Balls is presented by Rainbow Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Macomb and by First Bank. And now, here's your host, Robbie Hamilton.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of Chasing Foul Balls right here on Super Talk Pike County 93.5. I hope to have a good show this morning, guys. We'll have Chris Blair, who's the voice of the LSU Tigers, to join us and talk LSU football. We had Micah Davis scheduled for this morning, but the Wolfpack had to change their practice time up, so Micah won't be with us, but he agreed to join us in a couple of weeks to talk Colleen football, so we'll get to Coach Micah Davis in a couple of weeks. Joining me this morning, it's the old folks crew once again. To my left, TP himself, Richard Hay, how are you, sir?
I didn't know that I had moved into the old folks category.
Oh, we all old folks.
Well, I'm fine.
Did you retire?
Been retired, yes.
You old folks. To my right? when you say old folks, you look to your right? Excuse me. Mr. Randall himself, the Professor Dale Randall.
Well, I want you youngsters to know.
Youngsters.
I may be old folks, but I'm not quite elderly.
Oh.
Pushing it, though.
You kind of like, well, what the?
But he's still young in his mind now, you know that.
What was the country singer? As old once as it used to be.
Good well, that's one. Toby Keith.
Toby Keith, yeah.
Toby Keith.
Yeah. That's Dale.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's just once. That's the whole thing about it.
That's it.
Let's go to work. We got a lot to talk about today. Of course, the biggest news in sports happened yesterday when the SEC announced they were going to a 9-game regular season. A lot of talk has been about that back and forth, and they seemed to think they wasn't going to do it a year or so ago, and now all of a sudden it comes out in a release that that's what they're going to do. Three opponents will be every year on your schedule, and they'll rotate some other ones through. Richard, you have the SEC love in this one. What do you think about the reason?
Money. They just boil it down to the fact that everybody said go, 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 and you know, we weren't going to give up a game if it wasn't going to and play a, you know, probably a better opponent unless there was money involved.
Is it money as much as they need that game to could keep the bowl hopes for a lot of these teams up because it will be a better opponent than they were normally going to play? It'll be better numbers in the polls because they're playing somebody better. Is that part of it too?
Yeah, I think, Robbie, I think they go hand in hand. I think it'll be a better game during the season. There'll be an extra game during the season, which brings people, more viewers in. And, of course, that helps your overall record at the end of the year as far as getting in the playoffs. And I'm sure there was some, you know, I think I couldn't remember if they talked about who got the thing. Is they going to go to the 5-11 or the however they're going to shake out the playoffs. But at the end of the day, we're going to play one more game against a good opponent, and that in turn leads to more money.
What about you, Mr. Randall? What do you see there?
I hate to use a tired old cliche.
From a tired old man?
From a tired old unelderly man.
I didn't mean to say that.
But I have to quote our good buddy Reese Nunry. Follow the dollar. That's all it's about. You can talk about all this other stuff, and that's extraneous. But just follow the dollar. That's what makes the world go round.
Hardest to win as a head football coach, the NCAA football championship or the NFL Super Bowl? Richard?
I'd probably say the NFL Super Bowl, Robbie, because as we've seen over the years, there's more parity in the NFL. You know, the teams that it might be third or fourth in one division one year. They get a couple good draft choices. The rest of it's together. They don't have a key injury or two along the way. Next thing you know, they're in the playoffs. And as we saw last year with the Washington Commanders, they were a player or two away from being in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they drafted one player in the most key position, and he almost put him in the Super Bowl. So I'd say the NFL.
I'll have to agree with Richard there, Robbie. Thing about it is, when you look at the top 25 of NCAA football today, there are five or six there, maybe seven, that have a shot at winning the national championship. And they're going to be basically the same ones year in and year out. We get excited when a newcomer comes along, but it doesn't happen often.
Ed Ogeron wants to get back in college football coaching. Randy's wife took a lot of his money. He has to do something to make it back now.
Well,
what do you see as Ed Ogeron? Number one, will he get back in college football as a head coach, or will he come back in college football as an assistant coach?
Well, I can answer that very easily. It depends on how much she took or how much he had to begin with.
She took half of it.
Oh, well, I think LSU gave him, a little less than $20
million? Yeah, about 17, 18, yeah.
Yeah. I could make it on that for a while. I know Robbie kind of does that now.
Well, you might not have the spending habits of this.
I'm kind of surprised that he would be interested in coming back coaching regardless. But maybe he needs a little ego boost. I don't know.
Robbie, I think it's just who calls him. I see him wanting a major job, like one of the major power conferences and stuff. This might sound crazy, but he's a really good – he's always been a defensive-minded guy. I mean, what if he gets hired by one of the NFL teams as a coordinator or an analyst? Now the big word in college is, you're an analyst. But something to get a steady paycheck is what it sounds like he's looking for.
Yeah, I don't see him getting a big-time college head coaching job.
I'm interested in this one. At what price or what point are tickets – too much for a regular season college football game?
I think they're already there in a lot of places.
you have season tickets, so I'm going to go to you, Richard. You can kind of speak to that before we can.
Well, I have season baseball tickets.
Oh, excuse me.
The others, Neil stole my phrase. I said they're already there for me, folks. people that know me, and I've said this many times before, they said, do you go to football games? I said, no. I said, I've been to a football game one or two in the last 10 years. And they said, why? I said, well, it's a 4.5, 5-hour drive up there. You got to get there 3 hours before the game. That means 8 hours. I said, you get in the game. If it's the early part of the year, it's 100 degrees. If we're not playing somebody that we know we're going to beat before we get there, we're playing a real good team. We get beat. Now I'm mad, and I got a 4-hour drive home.
If you don't have to spend the night.
And so I just soon be at the farm on the tractor with my radio, and if we start not playing well, I just turn the radio off.
Well, let me ask a question on that same thing. To get those season tickets at these major universities, don't you have to pay a little extra to get the tickets, and then don't you have to pay a premium for parking?
Well, you have to pay a certain amount to the club or whatever the university club is. We call ours the Bulldog Club. Now you've got the collective that you got to probably give some to. Then you have to pay for a right to buy the seat. Then you have to buy the seat. And you all you've done is gotten a game. You ain't bought a concession. You hadn't paid for parking. It left me, especially when, as Mr. Hamilton has so graciously said every time, when I'm at Hay Stadium, I can turn the channel. Nobody at the concession line. Nobody at the bathroom line. And it's air conditioned.
And the recliner's a lot better seat.
That's right. If I fall asleep, I'm more comfortable.
It also has something to do with what Robbie said at the beginning, at birthdays.
This
get
is
to
true.
That point. Yeah, all right.
I'm already at that point. Final question before we go to our buddy Chris Blair. What about pet peeves? What in the world is week zero in college or high school football? If you're playing a game, it's not week zero. It's week one. Now, if everybody don't play on week one, you start on week two. Now, how can you play on week zero, Richard?
Well, I was gonna let the educator over there answer that one, because I can count. If you're doing something, that's the first time you're doing it.
It is. It has to be week one. It can't be week zero this week.
I have, and these are universities that
and high school
pass
people.
Out degrees, and I mean, I don't think they can count, Neil.
Well, I think the universities can count, but I don't think they're the ones making that decision. I think that's coming from the network.
Well, if they're going to pay me to play that, they can call it what they want to.
Exactly. Thank you, Richard.
Sometimes y'all just won't help.
What would you call it?
Week one. If you play a game, that's week one. If everybody else wants to play next week, they start in week two. Amen. Not week one. Week two.
That's real simple, I think.
Lord. Never mind. Don't get me all worked up. My heart. You know, I have to watch out. I've got my heart.
We got the rest
stuff.
Of the show to
yeah,
do.
I got my heart I have to worry about, too, getting all messed up, you know. On the website, Mississippi Scoreboard, on our Facebook page, a great, great, great article about Bill Hurst. Make sure you go to our Facebook page, Chasing Foul Balls. It's under Mississippi Scoreboard, who wrote the article. It's on Bill Hurst. Make sure you take a read of that. And happy birthday to our favorite athletic director, Ken Jackson, today. Today be his birthday.
Did you see all those balloons there with Jackson?
Yeah, it looked like somebody done got in that office,
somebody
didn't it?
Somebody sabotaged his office.
Yeah, for sure.
Time to go to work. We'll have Chris Blair, one of our favorite folks to talk to. He comes up next. So Chasing Foul Balls right here on Super Talk Pike County 93.5. Back, Chasing Foul Ball, Friday morning edition right here on Super Talk Pike County, 93.5. Don't forget, we have our own podcast sites now on Spotify, Apple, and Amazon Music. So if you've missed some of the shows or want to listen back to some of the shows, just go there. This show will be put up on pretty quick after we finish here. You'll be able to listen back to it on Spotify or Apple or Amazon Music, if you would prefer to do that. Before we go to Mr. Chris Blair, Arch Manning, is he in an impossible situation to start the season with all the hype?
I would say it'd be impossible for a lot of people, but I'm going to say it's probably not impossible for him, because I think he has been groomed for this since he arrived. And I would say yes for a normal person, but not for him. And I wish him the best.
If he's not prepared, then nobody's going to be prepared. Neil, I agree with you. There were people that were offering him scholarships when he was week, 2 weeks old. And so the rumor has it.
Yeah.
But still, I'm sure there's something that he'll struggle with as the season goes along, but how to deal with it. That's the thing about the mental part of it that I'm sure he's been coached so well on with the family that he's in, is how you deal with adversity. And he's going to have it. And the good thing is he's got really good players around him.
Absolutely.
And that's going to cover a lot, but still he's the quarterback. But I'd say he's prepared for it.
When you look around at the SEC, there were four schools. Let me get this exactly right. The last four SEC teams to go undefeated: 2022 Georgia, 2020 Alabama, 2019 LSU, 2020 Auburn. Will there be another SEC team to go undefeated?
When they go to nine games, I don't see how you could go through that juggernaut undefeated. If you do, we know where you'll be ranked.
Well, absolutely. And the thing about it is, you have so much talent, and you have so many injuries, and I think that's what you're referring to, Richard. Lots of talent out there, but I'll say it's not very likely that with a 9-game SEC schedule that you'll have an undefeated champion. But I'm going to say it could happen, but it would be highly unlikely.
Richard, Mississippi State. Two things came up in the last week on uniform wise. Going back to a lot of the interlocking MSU, you like that?
Yes, I do.
Does it look as good on football helmets and jerseys and all as it does on baseball hats?
No, I think the interlocking on the baseball hat is, but the interlocking on the side of the helmet, it is, you know, and maybe if you ask somebody that's not a State fan, they might have a different. But I do think it gives us, you know, most people see that logo, that interlocking MSU on the side of the helmet. That they know that's Mississippi State. It's not Michigan. It's not Montana State. It's Mississippi State. And I think that gives us a lot. I don't mind the script, but I don't want it on everything. If I'm going to wear one helmet, I want the interlocking Mississippi State MSU logo.
Well, I hadn't seen it, but I think every school is looking for something unique to them, and I think that is very important for their identity. And I'm, for one, am pulling for State to have a bounce-back season.
You know, Neil, back in our day, you know, somebody would say a long time ago, you know, the guys wore the same helmet because at the end of the year it had so many scar marks and this. But now they got four or five different helmets based on the, you know, the team that's supporting them as far as their uniform, and you don't see the all the line where you can't see none of the paint on their helmet because they got themselves beat up. But nowadays everybody's got a brand new helmet every week. It looks
and,
like.
And the helmets are so different from what they once were.
Exactly.
I go way back to those with the leather helmets back in.
Ooh, that's before mine and your time.
Oh, yeah, even Randy Bullock's, for sure.
Let's stay on the same deal. The black jerseys. State, talk about using the black jerseys more. You like the black jerseys?
No. And especially if I'm going to play in 100-degree heat. I've said this all along. I know why they have the black. Somebody pays them a certain amount of money. They'd probably wear pink if they gave them a lot of money, but my thing is when I went to school there and all my time through, our color pattern was maroon and white, and we wore gray in baseball season, like gray pants on the road sometimes, and slight changes. And I know I'm probably way in the minority, and that's fine, but I just like maroon and white. And if we're going to play on the road, we're going to wear all white or white and maroon, whichever. But black and all these, I'm not a fan of it, but that's just one man's opinion.
I'll have to agree with you, Richard. I mean, like you said, Mississippi State's maroon and white, not black.
Let me give you this poll, and I think it's going to surprise just about everybody in this room as well as everybody listening this morning. BetMGM came out with their AI end of the season top 25 for this football year. You got me now? AI, top 25 football for this season, at the end of the season. Number one, Penn State. I think you picked them to be number one.
I'm going to stick with them.
Number two, Oregon. Number three, Texas. Now, you ready for this one? Number four, the Ole Miss Rebels.
Wow.
And number five, Georgia. Grab a hold to that one, Richard.
Well, I will say this. If Ole Miss is that high at the end of the season, their defense has played a lot better than a lot of people right now think they will because of all that they lost. And they'll have gotten through the year with their quarterback playing extremely well and avoiding any major injuries in key positions. Because I'm not saying they can't do it and they can't get there, because they're very talented, but they've got a lot of question marks in certain positions that could lead you to think that they might not get there. But four is pretty high to end the season.
I totally agree. And you're spot on about the defense. They lost so much talent on the defense. And last year, as so many times, the defense, regardless of how good, can be overshadowed by the offense because of the flash and dash, what have you.
Well, but to me, a couple of the games that they lost, they should have won. They lost because the offense couldn't either move the ball or get a first down at a time. It wasn't that the defense wasn't putting up their part.
They lost a lot of NFL talent off of that
and
defense.
And that's hard to replace.
Almost impossible.
Final question before we take our next break. I'm not going to look at you, Mr. Randall, when I ask this, because you'll think I may be a little prejudiced, but I'll look to Richard and say, how many steps do you have to fall down before you can officially say that you have fallen down a flight of stairs?
Well, Robbie, since with me it's increasing, I'd say 3 to 4.
Mr. Randall?
1.
That's why I didn't look at you to start with. I found that a pretty good question. How many steps do you have to fall down before you can say that you have fallen down a flight of stairs?
I don't know where you come up with this.
I can tell you what. Whatever the number is, I've done it before. So,
well, but because we have stairs on both sides of our back porch at the farm, I get a lot of practice going up and down them, and I used to take 2 and 3 steps at a time. Now I take 1 at a time.
Well, I can tell you this. I don't have to have steps to do that. Stairs, whatever.
All right, guys. Y'all are so good at predicting scores from years past. We'll bring it back up after we take this time out. You're listening to Chasing Foul Balls. It's right here on Super Talk 93.5.
Sports. And now sports.
You're listening to Chasing Foul Balls on Super Talk Pike County 93.5 and streaming everywhere on the Super Talk Mississippi app. Chasing Foul Balls is presented by Rainbow Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Macomb and by First Bank and brought to you by East Macomb Body Shop and Guy's Pharmacy. Now back to Chasing Foul Balls on Super Talk Pike County 93.5.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. If you're looking for a bank that feels like home, First Bank is here for you. 14 locations across southern Mississippi. We're your local bank for checking, savings, loans, and more. Whether you're buying a home, starting a business, or you just need everyday banking made easy, First Bank ready to help you. You can stop by our nearest branch and visit firstbankms.com today. First Bank, where customers and community matters most. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender. And Chasing Foul Balls, also brought to you by Rainbow Dodge Jeep Ram 101 Rainbow Way right here in Macomb. Well, guys, the high school football season officially started last night with jamborees on the MHSAA and MPSA side of Park Lane played down in Oak Forest. They defeated Sullivan 23-8 and beat Oak Forest 13-12 in 2-quarter scrimmages. The high school team that you'll hear right here on Super Talk Pike County gets started tonight. That's the North Pike Jaguars. And, of course, Bowie Davis will be bringing you the play-by-play of North Pike here on Super Talk Pike County. They go to Lloyd Starr for their first game, a jamboree game, I should say, tonight. But week zero has some other games that start the season in the private school league. And, guys, I will give you 4 of them and let you see if you can pick some winners here. 4 local games. Of course, the first one ought to be interesting. Playing over in Liberty tonight, Centerville Academy takes on ASC. 2 pretty good rivalries to have week 0 football.
I'll just go with the home team. I'll go with ASC. And I know they had a pretty good year last year, and I know high school teams change every year because you got players going in and out, I understand, but I'll go with the Rebels.
Like you said, ASC has had a couple of pretty good years recently, but I'm going to go with winningest coach in Mississippi, Bill Hurst. And from what I read in that article that Robbie talked about a few minutes ago, he's got a really small squad, but I bet they're in great shape.
You can count on that. You
bet on that.
Sled probably had to be replaced halfway through the summer. Game two. The Buccaneers of Bowling Green travels to ACCS in Natchez. Who you got, Dale?
I really don't know, but I'll take.
Come on, Dale. You keep up with this stuff.
I'll go with ACCS since they are the home team.
I would think the same thing. ACCS been pretty good over the years, and Bowling Green, I don't keep up with them that much. I think they made the playoffs either last year or year before last. But I'll go with the home team, ACCS.
Then what do y'all pick? Ken Jackson's favorite team, the Bowling Green Buccaneers.
Be careful there.
Prentice at Wilkinson Christian at some good old fashioned 8-man football gets started tonight. Richard, you going with Prentice or you going with Wilkinson Christian?
I think Wilkinson Christian's about figured this 8-man stuff out. They've been pretty good the last couple of years.
Didn't they win a state championship last year?
Last year, year before last, yes. And
Have either of you guys ever seen an 8-man game?
No, not
I've seen
person.
It on the TV, the championship game in the league, when they televised the championship game. I watched part of it, but it's a wide open game now.
Well, you know, here a few years ago in Sports Illustrated, they had this really lengthy article on 6-man football out in West Texas, where, you know, people are few and far between. But I think the state championship game was like 92-88.
My kind of football right there.
I know a couple of officials who couldn't handle that.
Couldn't get their hands above their head enough to signal touchdown.
It'd take them a while.
You'd be like Hamilton at basketball. Just stand in the middle. They'll run by you.
So what's your name?
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Marks is just standing in mid-court. He said, they coming back to me.
What a great guy.
Final game. I thought this real interesting. Ravenwood, Tennessee plays MRA at MRA. Of course, the father of the MRA head coach is Herbert Davis. Herbert Davis's son is the offensive coordinator for Ravenwood. Who you got, Neil, daddy or son?
I'll take daddy at home, being daddy.
Yeah, daddy's going to know the son knows all the plays, so he's going to figure out something. Hubert's pretty smart about that, but I'll go with daddy, especially they're again playing at home. That's a long trip from anywhere in Tennessee. I don't care if they're on the state line to Madison, Mississippi.
I'm guessing that's a Nashville area school.
And before we go to a break and get Mr. Nunry on the fold, the Gridiron magazine. Mississippi Gridiron. Right. They have what they call individual school editions. And they have like 20 different editions. You can buy that magazine with your team on the cover. One of those teams are Park Lane. We have it on the Chasing Foul Balls Facebook page, how you can order it there. So if you're interested in ordering that Mississippi Gridiron annual there, preseason look at high school football in Mississippi. You can order it with a Park Lane cover if you'd like to do it that way. So just go to the website and get all the information you knew right there. One final thing, they will have basketball coming up when the The NBA gets started in a few months, and a month or so it is. And, of course, one of the games that people will mark on their schedule, no doubt about it, will be the fact that the Pelicans will host the L.A. Lakers in one of their early season games. That game will be a part of the in-season tournament that the NBA has every year. So that pretty well says that all the players will play. So if you buy your tickets, you can pretty well be sure that LeBron James and the whole group will play, not like a regular season game when they have load management and they come to New Orleans and you spend all that money for a ticket. So we'll get to all that information for you. I know you want to be part of that. We'll come back. We'll talk with Reese Sundry right after we take this time out. Chasing foul balls this Friday morning right here on Superdome Pike County. I started it all around here, but the Lakers and the Pelicans, they will play in New Orleans November the 14th. And again, that's an in-season tournament game, which means most probably everybody will play since that's a special NBA in-season tournament. So before we look at your tickets, you want to get a chance to see LeBron James and the L.A. Lakers. They will be in New Orleans on November the 14th this year. On the phone with us, Big Daddy himself, Reese Dundry. How are you, sir?
Hey, doing great, Robbie. How are y'all this morning?
Well, let's kind of jump into what we want to talk about this morning. Nine-game regular season for the SEC coming up. What do you think about it?
Well, I know they've been kicking around for a while, and they finally pulled the trigger on yesterday. I guess it wasn't. It really has a lot to do with money. I mean, to be quite honest with you, I saw a figure that ESPN may be going to pay them up to $5 million for an extra game. Money is there's a lot of teams that's got money, but money is tight this year because tighter than it has been because they spend so much and on NIL and everything. So I'm sure that the TV money made that thing happen.
Arch Manning, is he an impossible standard to meet for him?
Say that now one more time. I missed it.
Arch Manning, is it an impossible standard for him to meet?
Well, he's got his hands full. People expect a whole lot out of him without question. The family puts a lot of pressure on him. I'm sure he feels that every day when the success all the family's had, and he's now the center of the attention in the family. I think he probably has what it takes, and I would just say he's grounded and tries to figure out he's got to live his own and make his own way. I think he'll be all right.
Hey, Reese, this is Richard. We're about a week out from the big game over in Hattiesburg. What is your preparations as far as dealing with? I think you're going to get a break. Looks like the weather's going to be. It might not even make it 90. Maybe by kickoff it will. But what's the morning preparations for the Nunnery clan?
Well, we'll go over on Friday. And we have a motorhome in the parking lot there, adjacent to the practice field, and we have a bunch of friends there, and we'll have a big cooking that night. I'm sure we normally. Get there around 6 and probably about 7:30 we'll have some food on the grill or something, and then the 11 o'clock start, we'll be up bright and early to have breakfast, and then we'll head over to the stadium by probably 10 o'clock or no later, and so it'll be breakfast and football for sure.
Reese, this is Neil. I hate to put you on the spot, but you know, I don't really mind. If you were a betting man and looking at the line on this game between your Golden Eagles and Richard's Bulldogs in the black jerseys, which way would you go?
Well, you know, it's hard for me to separate my loyalty and money, but I like my money, and so
hate to be separated from it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think when the points were 12 or 14 or whatever it started off, the points would probably sway you to take that point, bet, you know, and bet USM plus the points. That line's moving down, and it may move down some more before kickoff. So right now, I'd say it's based on the line, it's a coin flip.
Mississippi State and Southern Miss women's basketball. They'll play for the first time since 2019 in Starkville this year on December the 14th. Are you happy that they finally, you start to see more in-state schools play Southern Miss?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's great for the state. Certainly a lot of money being spent around in college athletes, and we need college athletes. We need for them to compete against each other. I think it just helps crowds. It helps the competition because these kids know each other and they grew up against playing against each other. And even though there's a lot with the portal and everything, there's still a lot of Mississippi players on both teams, and I'm sure they enjoy playing against each other.
Major League Baseball, Reese, are talking about having a new alignment. They'll go to four divisions in each league with four teams in each division. As an example, the Braves would play in the, at least possibly play in the NL South. That would be Atlanta, Miami. The new team is going to come in either Nashville or Raleigh and Tampa Bay. Would you like to see Major League Baseball do their alignment into something like that, a more regional look?
Yeah, I think it would help baseball. I think we've seen the NFL do, their model worked that out real well with the teams in the South, all being in one division. And baseball, it was always interesting to me that at one time I think the Braves were in the same division as the LA team.
They used to be in the West.
There's no regionality to that at all. And I think to put it back to where you're playing against teams in your area cuts down on travel a little bit. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Since you're probably the only person on this group to be able to talk straight to this. The rest of us too cheap to buy seats and tickets to college football games. At what point are tickets too much for a regular season college football game?
Oh, well, I don't know, Rob. It's every time it comes around, I think it was too much, and I look at what people are paying at LSU and at Alabama and it's not only now the tickets, now there's seat licenses and everything else to go with it that adds up for the price of that ticket. And I always think, well, this is a year it levels off with such a demand for money and people willing to pay it. And, college sports in the South is just a religion, and I guess people dig deeper and you got to think one day it's going to max out, but I'm sure colleges are going to push it as far as they can. So the pros have already done that.
Ed Ogeron says he wants to get back into coaching business. What do you think? Will he get back as a head coach, or will he have to come back as an assistant coach?
Well, I wonder if he would take an assistant job. That would probably be the best way for him to get back in. When you've been at the top of an organization, you would think it's hard to go back and start taking orders from somebody else. But I figure assistant's the best way for him to go.
Reese, this is Richard again. I know you're a big football fan and you follow our black and gold Saints probably about as close as you follow the Eagles, Southern Miss Eagles. What's your take on our quarterback position? Who do you think's pushing ahead, or how do you think the season's going to play out with the quarterback? Because it all starts there, as we know.
No question. I think, you know, we're fortunate to have a quarterback like we have. Quarterback was great at Marshall, and I'm sure he'll that fall counts. He's really had a good fall camp. I know Mississippi State's got a great quarterback, so it could be two gunslingers, I guess, going at each other. I think the whole ball game comes down to how well the offensive and the defensive lines on both teams play.
Reese, let's stay with the black and gold for a second, but move down to New Orleans for a second. What do you think about their quarterback situation?
Well,
would somebody I hate to put it
like this, but what quarterback? They really are searching. I think the Saints have got to play through this year and hope they can make an arrangement to draft a real franchise quarterback in the first round next year. I don't believe they got their quarterback of the future right now, and they're in kind of a tough situation, but they may be playing for the Arch Manning monopoly there.
Well, that was my next question, based on what you see the Saints doing this year, win-loss-wise. You think they'll be in position to get a pretty good quarterback early in the first round?
Yeah, I look at that schedule, and I have a hard time seeing them win more than four ball games, maybe five. I think they got some trade situation. I think they've got some money, cap money, that they can throw at it. And I figure they trade up in the, if they think they got a chance to get the right guy, they trade up next year.
Reese, BetMGM's AI came out with an end of the season top 25 for college football. Like I told the guys here when we talked about this, I think it will surprise you. Here's BetMGM's AI, end of the season top 25. 1, Penn State. 2, Oregon. 3, Texas. 4, Ole Miss. 5, Georgia. You surprised to hear those final top five?
Yep. Kind of surprised. I assume that includes everybody. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's their final five at the end of the season after the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's who it will be.
Hmm.
That's a good way to put it.
Where's Clemson?
I didn't write down past the top five. I was so shocked at the top five, but Penn wouldn't write 6, 7, and 8.
Yeah.
Final question. How many steps do you have to fall down before you can say that you have fallen down a flight of steps?
Oh, I would think anything beyond 3 is a pretty good fall, so I'd say that.
Well, I tell you what, some people laugh at that question, but when you get our age, it's an important question to have to talk about, isn't it?
That's right. You got that right.
And it's not that funny.
Especially when you do it, it's not that funny.
Yeah.
Reese, have a good week. We'll talk to you next Friday morning. Appreciate it.
Thank y'all. See you later.
We'll come back. Talk a little more football right after this. Welcome back, Chasing Foul Ball, Friday morning edition, right here on Super Talk Pike County 93.5. Thanks for being with us. Fellas, real quick, we got several things to kind of run through before we finish up here. First of all, Denver comes and takes on the Saints Saturday in the final exhibition game. You think we'll actually be able to see a guy? I hadn't seen a Saints game yet. No TV, I can't find it.
I've had that same experience, Robbie, but I will say this. I was not that disappointed when I wasn't able to find them.
Y'all so tough on them Saints. I tell you what, your daughters will get you.
Well, they listed it on all these streaming places and this plus, and I'm like y'all, I did a little bit of a semi-search, and when I couldn't find it, I'm like Neil. I said, well, I'll just listen to them on Monday talk about it, and they'll tell me what I need to know, which wasn't much.
Mississippi High School Sports lists their top 25 in high school football. Tupelo 1, Brandon 2, Madison Central 3, Oak Grove 4, Starkville 5. The only team from my area in the top 25, Brookhaven comes in at number 23 on that list. Ole Miss has announced that they will have a new pair for their basketball broadcast this year. They'll have a new radio crew. Gary Darby is going to move in as a play-by-play announcer, and the former Ole Miss player Murphy Holloway will be their color commentator for their basketball. David Kellum will keep football and baseball, but he's given up basketball, and Gary Darby is going to move in as the play-by-play announcer for basketball. Mississippi State Baseball, Richard, something new this year. They will have two scrimmage games in the fall. Their second scrimmage has been announced. It'll be against Louisiana Tech, and that one will be in Starkville. What do you think about these scrimmage games in the fall?
Well, when I saw it on my email the other day that they were going to do this, and I didn't know if they were – I didn't think they could do it around a home football game. But even though that, we're going to be playing at Arkansas that weekend, and I would be – I will not be surprised if there's not 10, 11, 12,000 people that are watching, honestly, because new coach, new feelings about here we go, football team's on the road, the lounge will be open, you can still come in and cook and grill, and it'll be a pretty good crowd there that day.
Will y'all be charging for that, you think, Richard?
In past, they never did, but really? Now, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't. But I don't think that'll stop anybody.
No.
The first scrimmage, the first scrimmage game on the road against Florida, yeah. Florida State.
At Pensacola.
Pensacola. Right. Bogotá basketball. They only have a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. It's a fundraiser for Bogotá basketball. That'll be on August the 30th. And the Lincoln County Wildlife Expo, September 26th through 28th. Mark that on your calendar so you make sure you get out and see that. Well, guys, when we get back together next week, it'll be full-fledged football. High school will start this week with their regular schedule. And then week one of college football will be next Saturday, and we'll have a lot of talk about some really great games to see if y'all can predict the winner. I don't get back into that. I'm through.
We have some college football this weekend?
Oh, you got week zero.
But they're games still playing.
Let me put it, you got zero games playing week zero. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, to answer your question, yes. Also, next Thursday night, the JUCOs open up, too.
Southwest on the road at home, so that will put Southwest new coach Les George against his old team, the Holmes Bulldogs. We'll come back next week. Hope you'll be with us chasing foul balls on Super Talk Pike County.
The party ain't over.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.